about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
This program is for mature audiences only.
Please have your fake ID ready.
Get out of bed, you lazy sh**.
We found the only way to start the day. Get on the go with radio. We like to use it for household music. The daily chores are never a bore. For weather information, this is the station.
3, 2, 1.
Rise and shine, sleepyhead.
I'm not letting you go to work today.
Wait, what?
Everybody, listen up.
Welcome to The Drive.
Morning, morning, morning.
You're going to talk.
Get on the phone at 339-1140.
Pretty awesome, huh?
Jump in on our text line at 44-1140.
Everyone is talking about it. You must know that.
The Drive starts now.
Good morning, everybody, and a happy Tuesday to you. It's 6:03 in the morning on this November 13th, 2018, and we are coming off yet another Sacramento Kings win. This is The Drive. I'm Kyle Madsen. You just heard Matt George on the update. We're filling in for Carmichael Dave, who is out with a family issue today. He's taking the day off, and we're happy to fill in for him. And Matt, I'm happy to have you along with me.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Because we need a Kings fan in the building.
Yeah, we do.
Because the Kings, for my money, are the most exciting thing going in Northern California sports right now.
Wow.
The
hot take, Warrior
fan. Okay, so let's just run it down. The San Jose Sharks have been somewhat disappointing so far. I think they'll be fine. I think they're going to be a playoff team. They'll make a run. They'll be fine.
They play that Canadian sport, right?
Yeah, they play hockey.
Ah.
The 49ers are a disaster. The Raiders are a bigger disaster. The Warriors are boring. Like it's for different reasons, but like Steph Curry's out right now, and it's just really hard when you have a team like they have to get really amped for the regular season. Like, there are games here and there that really matter. But for people who don't know, I'm a Warriors fan. Born and raised in the Bay Area. And it's just really hard to get up for games in November. So the Kings right now, given where they're at, given the style of basketball they play, given the young, exciting players that they have, they are so much fun to watch. And thank God for that, because if this was the Kings, like if you took a Kings team from 2 or 3 years ago, it would be a really miserable time to watch sports in Northern California. But it's impossible not to love watching the Kings. Like, look at that game last night.
Yeah.
Look at the way they finished that game. They hit a couple of big threes. They played really solid defense against a good offensive team. Or at least an offensive team that knows how to execute. So shout out to the Kings for making what could be an exceptionally boring time of year super exciting.
Well, first and foremost, I dream of the Kings getting into a position where we can say that November basketball is boring and doesn't matter, because we all know the Warriors are playing right now to put themselves in the best position to win in April. That right. is just not the case for the Kings. However, Bogdan Bogdanovic said last night, and I honestly, every single King believes that this team is a playoff team, and that is
Why
their motivation
you?
Going into this year. They've been very confident in saying from start to finish that they believe they have the talent right now to make it to the playoffs. I don't think they expect, well, they wouldn't tell you they don't think they can win a championship,
right.
But the expectations are realistic there. But it's not just how they played down the stretch, which was fantastic. They did a great job closing out the game and building a 10-point lead there late after the Spurs were knocking on the door, very similar to how they went on a run late against the Minnesota Timberwolves. But it was how they played this game start to finish. I mean, they were in control. They were the better team the entire night. Now, San Antonio was knocking down the door late, and I tweeted out as much as like, okay, the Kings have done a great job controlling the tempo, controlling the pace, being the better team for the first 45 minutes. Now we're down to the final 3-4 minutes, and it's a four-point ball game. This is where you'd typically see the Spurs and great teams go, all right, you had your fun, our turn, we take over. Right. And they weren't able to do that. They tried, and then the Kings came right back. They did a great job on LaMarcus Aldridge. They did a great job on DeMar DeRozan. And the Kings just looked better top to bottom last night.
Yeah, the defense at the end of the game was what really jumped out to me. We've seen them score, but like you said, there were so many opportunities, and we'll get deeper into this later, but there were so many opportunities for the Spurs to take that game over, and the Kings' defense didn't let it happen. And when you talk about it, I follow a ton of Kings fans, and it's so funny, after each win, almost to a person, with a few exceptions, are like, I'm waiting for the bottom to fall out of this thing, but man, is this fun.
Yep.
And I understand. But why, outside of we've seen previous teams fall on their faces, previous teams with different players, different coaching, this is an entirely new, like, different team.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that, sorry to cut you off, but sneak something in, like, this team had lost 14 straight games to the San Antonio Spurs, and I brought that up when I was hosting game night with Henry Turner, and I thought what Henry Turner said was best. Your star point guard is 20 years old. You have players on this team, 19, 20, 21 years old, that can barely remember the last four meetings between these teams, let alone 14. They don't care, and it's not the same Spurs team. For one, I actually think they're better than they were last year, and so far their record indicates it, although they didn't look too sharp last night. And then the Kings are certainly top to bottom a very, very different team. So the 14-game win streak just didn't seem to, or feel like it really, even from the very beginning, apply to this squad because of the way they play and the confidence that they have. De'Aaron Fox said it last night. They know when they take the floor any night that they can win. And I love that he said, everybody's starting to take notice, and they're saying now that we're not an easy win anymore. And that's how it's supposed to be.
Yep. I think that was the key stride for this season for the Kings, was to not be the punchline, not be the team that every team circles. It's like, okay, let's look at our schedule. There's a win.
Yep.
And I think, I feel like I understand it's not a 50-game sample size, but a 15-game sample size isn't bad. That's a good chunk of games, and we've seen enough from this team, at least for me, to say that that strides have in fact been made. And like I said earlier, we'll dive into that later. We got a ton to get to today. Thank goodness for the Kings, and the reason I even thought of that last night was because I had to watch that entire 49er game start to finish. And I actually didn't get to watch the first quarter live because I forgot my phone charger here.
Uh-oh.
Or not my phone charger, but my computer charger.
Oh, even worse.
Even worse. So I can live without my phone during a game. I can't live without my computer during a game because I have to work. I have to write. And so I realized it's about 5 minutes before kickoff. And thank goodness it was Veterans Day, so traffic wasn't bad. Because this is like 10 after 5.
Mm.
I realize I have to drive. I live in Elk Grove. I had to drive all the way over here down by off Exposition in Sacramento. About a 20, 25-minute drive. Ran in here, grabbed my phone charger, ran all the way back. Missed the entire first quarter. And I'm totally fine with that. Because I listened to it. It was fine.
Didn't miss much?
Did not. And it was like pulling teeth. And then you turn on the Kings game and they're flying up and down the court. They're playing great defense. It's like, man, thank goodness I got to watch a good sporting event tonight.
Yeah. And Willie Cauley-Stein last night deserves a lot of credit for how he played against LaMarcus Aldridge, who is, for his career, a destroyer of Kings. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge, he's the guy that makes
a lot of teams.
Yeah, he does. But he's the guy that still makes the mid-range jumper look like a good shot in today's NBA. I mean, anytime he gets a look from the elbow or from the wing, it's almost always going in. He still knocks down that turnaround jumper with ease, and he had a tough time against both Willie Cauley-Stein and Harry Giles. And Harry Giles did a great job bouncing back. had that 30-point game in Stockton on Sunday to get a little confidence boost, and he came out and immediately had an impact, finished with a career high, I think it was 12 points that he finished with, and also 6 rebounds, and Dave Yeager praised him after the game, saying that he was a bruiser, he bumps people, he pushes people around, and it was a good top-to-bottom game for this Kings team, and it helped erase that sour taste out of your mouth of the loss to the Lakers. And going back to one of the things you said about the Kings specifically and them on Twitter, I get the coping mechanism of Kings fans. Like, I'm sure. Waiting for the floor to fall out because it's happened year and year and time again. And I get this team has to prove it first before everybody else will come around. It's very similar with the A's and signing free agents or keeping players.
Right.
But when the Kings fans get high, they get really high. And then when they get low, they get really low. And the fact that it was a loss to the Lakers amplified all of the frustrations of the fact this team shot 34%. Shots right. that were normally going in weren't falling. Buddy Hield had probably the worst game of his career. Willie Cauley-Stein got in foul trouble. Fox was the only person out there doing anything. And Kings fans were freaking out after Saturday's loss to the Lakers. What better way for this Kings team to respond in a game? And quite honestly, and I'll admit it, this is the optimist here saying that out of this 4-game homestand, I looked at that Spurs game as the game that I thought for sure the Kings weren't winning. I thought they had a chance against the Raptors, and I thought they should win the Laker game and the Timberwolves game. I didn't give them much chance against San Antonio, and they were the better team.
Yeah, they sure were. And like I said, plenty more analysis coming up on the Kings win over the Spurs. In fact, we'll lead off with that in Morning Brew, part of a shout out to Carmichael Dave, a big fat hairy show for you today. We've got the Kings and Spurs. We've got the Niners losing to the Giants. I want to talk a little bit about Markelle Fultz. Hugh Jackson is once again employed. And then we'll get Matt Barrows of The Athletic to talk about the 49ers. That'll come in the 8 o'clock hour. And then after that, we're going to have Danny Kelly from The Ringer to chat about some fantasy football as we gear up for the fantasy football playoffs. All of that coming up for you. Right here on The Drive. Morning Brew is next. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's Matt George at Sports 1140 KHGK.
You're amazing.
Welcome back to The Drive.
It's just my job.
It's time for the Morning Brew. Now, here's Carmichael Dave.
LaMarcus Aldridge mishandles it, bobbles it, and it's knocked away. Fox with the steal. Kings with numbers. Lob ahead. To the rack, Willie Cauley-Stein. That could be the transition point of the year. It's a young season, but that was a thing of absolute beauty.
Kings 104, Spurs 99. Shout out to G-Man on the call. An excellent call of maybe the play of last night's game as the Kings down the Spurs to split their homestand, and I think that's really an ideal outcome. You avoid going 1-3, you beat a very good team, and it's tough to have a lot of complaints about that game last night.
Yeah, you look at the quality of competition that they faced during this 4-game road trip, and you say, well, if you could get to, Bogdan Bogdanovic last night said that the goal for the team was 3, but they would have been happy or were happy with 2. To get 2 games out of that tough 4-game stretch is something that Kings of old would not have done. They would have pushed and struggled for 1.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. They had 6 players in double figures last night. You mentioned Bogdan. He led the team with 22. But De'Aaron Fox is excellent again with 19 points, 7 assists, a couple of steals. Kings had 12 steals last night as a team. And it feels like 6 of those came on the Spurs' final 10 possessions.
Iman Shumpert deserves a lot of credit for that as well. He really frustrated DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan got his, and I love DeRozan. I think he's a fantastic fit there in San Antonio, and I'm really happy that things have worked out or are starting to work out for him with how everything ended in Toronto with the Raptors. But every time DeMar DeRozan would put the ball low, and he loves to start low with the ball out in front and then either jab step and go left or go right or pull up. And as soon as he would put that ball down there, immediately Shumpert would be swiping at it. And there were about 2 or 3 times that, even if it didn't result in a steal late, Iman Shumpert knocked the ball away from him, and it forced him to reset, and it clearly frustrated him.
Yeah, the Kings as a team, this really jumps out to me when you look at the box score. The Kings as a team only had 12 turnovers, and 6 of those came from Bagley and Giles, the 2 rookies. The rest of the team had 6 turnovers.
Yeah.
That's that's an ideal number.
And it's a nice thing to see after their worst game taking care of the basketball on Saturday when they had 19 turnovers and only 11 assists. So this team, they did what you wanted them to do. You saw a young team respond, and they corrected the two major areas that they struggled, shooting the basketball and taking care of the basketball. And they were fantastic.
You alluded to Harry Giles earlier, 12 points on 6 of 10. He had 6 boards, an assist, and a steal. Also turned the ball over 3 times and had 5 fouls. But I think we saw the version of Harry Giles that we had wanted to see from the jump. And it took him a few games to get there and a trip to Stockton. But you figure if we see the version of Harry Giles that we got last night, who was not afraid to body up inside, he was fighting for rebounds. He made a really nice move on the block to free himself up for a bucket late. If that's the Harry Giles we see in 16 minutes per game this year, you're going to feel really good about it.
And there really wasn't much he was doing that was different from what he was doing to open up the season, except for the shots were falling. And as the shots started to fall, you saw him get more active on the other end of the floor. And he mentioned as much after the game. He was asked, like, where did he feel like he grew the most just from this game alone? And he mentioned, it started on the defensive end. I got myself going defensively, and I figured if I'm going to struggle again offensively, defensively, I'm at least going to do my part. So he allowed his defense and his physicality to establish opportunity on the offensive end, and he had his greatest game of the season.
Yeah, we'll dive more into what this win means for the Kings, and they've got a tough stretch coming up. So last night's game was especially large, especially if they're going to keep continuing to push for a playoff spot. A couple of teams that weren't pushing for playoff spots are Brew number two.
Second and one for the Giants from the 3-yard line. Manning in a shotgun set. Barkley to his left. Manning back to throw. He looks left. He throws left. Caught for the touchdown by Sterling Shepard. And the Giants mob Shepard. 53 seconds to go, and the Giants are up 26-23 with the extra point pending.
Same old story for the 49ers. They lose 27-23. They blow a fourth quarter lead, something we've seen them do multiple times this year. And a theme for the 49ers continues to be their inability to finish games. And that's something I want to talk about with Matt Barrows, because I think part of it is I see a lot of people blaming defensive coordinator Robert Saleh, but it's very difficult for me to blame the defensive coordinator when you have as many injuries as the 49ers have had, when you have DJ Reed, the rookie safety, got beat for a touchdown last night, the game-winning touchdown. A lot of miscommunications all year, and some of that you can direct to coaching, but I think a lot of that has to do with personnel and guys not playing together and just a lack of chemistry on the defensive side, and it reared its head last night. Like it has really all season. We saw a regression from Nick Mullins. He threw a couple interceptions, though one wasn't really his fault. Matt Breida had a good game. George Kittle was a monster, but bad teams stay bad. That's the 49ers are a not good team, and they found a way to lose a winnable game yet again.
Well, I mean, it's signs of a young team, right? Not being able to close out, regardless of where you're playing. If you're at home, on the road, it doesn't matter. It's taking on a guy in Eli Manning. Now, we know the Giants haven't had the best of seasons, and Eli Manning has been pretty much on a steady state of regression over the last couple seasons. But a 75-yard game-winning drive, I mean, that's right in the playbook of something Eli Manning has done time and time again throughout his career versus a young kid and a young Niners team that is just trying to figure things out. And it's tough for the Niners, too, because they're in just a constant state of transition because of the personnel changes, because of the amount of injuries that they've suffered too. So they put themselves in good positions in this game, which is what you wanted to see, I suppose, if that's the silver lining that I can draw from it. And you can see at least the building blocks for them to build upon.
Yeah, they lost to yet another bad team, and that's what it really came down to. Like you said, there were some silver linings, but you'd like to see them not let a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. beat them. Four catches, 73 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was targeted 11 times, so he did an okay job, but his 2 touchdowns were just way too easy, and it's a sign of youth. It's a sign of guys playing who probably shouldn't be. It's guys out of position. And I think that's what we're going to see from the Niners. And if they finish this year with more than 2 wins, I'd be very surprised.
And we know the Giants players are going to be are trying to win that game and were taking the field expecting to win that game against the 49ers. But it makes you wonder, when they were able to complete that drive and take the lead late, how many New York Giants fans were like, oh darn, we're trying to get that first-round pick. So now the Oakland Raiders have, if I'm not mistaken, the worst record in the NFL.
Yeah, the Raiders have the number one pick. I believe the Niners will have the number two pick if the season ended today. So silver linings abound, but ultimately the 49ers lost to another bad team last night. Brew number three.
This one out to center field. Engel racing back to the track near the wall. Leaps up. That is gone. Big fly for Shohei Ohtani. As Ohtani shot has done it again. A three-run shot. And the Angels have taken the lead here to third.
So Shohei Ohtani, the pitching designated hitting monster.
Yep.
Won the American League Rookie of the Year over Gleyber Torres. And Miguel Andujar over there, Andujar, I guess, down in out in New York. But it's tough to argue against Ohtani. He batted in 114 games, slashed .285, .361, and .564. And then he was good on the mound as well. And it's one of those things where perhaps Torres or Andujar had better stats at the plate, had better numbers at the plate. But when you look at what Ohtani did and the success he had as a pitcher before he had his UCL injury, and then the success he had as a hitter as well, it's really difficult for me anyway to justify voting for anybody else.
Yeah. It's the only real argument that I can understand against Ohtani is the fact that he spent so much time injured during this season. Now, it wasn't the bulk of the season, but he did spend a lot of time out. And there are many that believe that you have to play a certain amount of games or a majority of games in order to be up for consideration. But Shohei Ohtani is doing something that's unprecedented. And the Angels took a gamble and took a risk by using him as a designated hitter and pitching him and having him part of that pitching rotation. And the bottom line is, normally nobody would care about Angels baseball with the exception of Mike Trout. But every time Ohtani was either at the plate or on the mound, people were tuning in and taking notice. He's an international superstar, and I absolutely think he deserves it.
Yeah, I think so too. And we may dive into this a little later because I'm wondering if this may be the start of a little bit of a change. We're seeing baseball philosophy change a lot, and Ohtani started 10 games on the hill with a 3.31 ERA, gave up 38 hits, 19 runs all earned. He walked 22. He struck out 63. So he's very good on the mound, very good at the plate, and when you put up rookie of the year type numbers at two spots, I feel like you have to win it. So the right choice was made there, but the Kings, they beat the Spurs. That's what matters right now. We're going to get into that with highlights and then our thoughts. We're also taking your calls, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. That is on the Fire Wings guest line. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. We've got King Spurs highlights when we come back on the drive. It's Sports 1140 KSGK.
Here we go. The drive continues now.
Ball knocked away by the Kings from LaMarcus Aldridge. Grabbed by Buddy Hield. He drives it. Gives to Fox. Transition three. He's got the triple. Sacramento enjoys a 7-2 advantage with seven unanswered points. De'Aaron Fox, who hit 3 of 4 from downtown in the loss to the Lakers, has been pretty darn good, shooting 41% from distance. Giolizza now to Cauley Stein, just above the free throw line. Willie looking for help, finds Buddy, back to Willie. One dribble, gathers, reaches with the left hand, bounces 3, 4, 5 times, and it settles in. A 5 bouncer. You don't see many of those. It fell in. Kings lead it 9-4. Here's White with a pass on top to DeRozan. Swings down to Cunningham. Cunningham with a pass in the pocket. Intended for Aldridge. Stolen by Iman Shumpert to Cauley Stein. Running the floor. Willie Cauley Stein up gliding above the iron. That was fluid, smooth, and oh so effective. After the Shumpert steal. Bogdanovich on the near wing. Chased now by Derek White. Sets up an alley-oop. Easy finish for Harry Giles. That was so smooth and so effective. What a setup pass from Bogey. And Harry Giles with the finish. So he's equaled his career rookie scoring high with 8 points. Jumper straight away now. Takes the inbounds. Comes back to Fox. Shakes left. Goes right. Hooks the pass back to Bielitsa. Steps to his right. Fires for three. Scores the three. Belly, we mentioned, didn't shoot in the first half. He's taken two shots here in the second half and made them both from downtown. 64-62. Here's Bryn Forbes teeing up the three. Front rim short. Grabbed by Bielitsa. Feeds to Shumpert. Quickly ahead. Now to Heald. Skips across court to Fox. Looks right. Goes left. Pulls up. 16-footer. He's got the bucket. How pretty was that? Boy, and Popovich is screaming literally at the official from some distance. He is hot right now. Mark Lindsay on the receiving end of the wrath from Greg Popovich. Aldridge wiggles right, frees up, 17-footer, bounces, doesn't go. Bielitsa has the rebound for Sacramento, leaves it for Fox, accelerates quickly into the front court to Belle. He's open, deep wing three, left side. He's got the triple, and the Kings fans exult and roar to their feet with an 8-point lead that equals their biggest of the ball game. The shot was made by Derek White, and now the final seconds tick away. For the first time since November of 2014, the Kings have defeated the San Antonio Spurs. A 14-game losing streak is in the past, and what a bounce-back win for the Sacramento Kings. Final is 104-99. Bogdan Bogdanovic leading the way. 25 minutes, the most he's played this season. Scored 22 points. One of six men for Sacramento in double figures. So many guys with so many big contributions.
A big shout out to the G-Man. Thanks for the highlights. Kyle Madsen and Matt George here on The Drive at Sports 1140. And you heard G-Man say it on the call. For the first time since 2014, the Kings find a way to beat the Spurs. 14 consecutive losses to San Antonio. That streak snapped. And just a, you mentioned something Henry Turner said, Matt, on the on game night, was that this Kings team doesn't remember any, if not many, if not any of those losses. They don't, this is a different team. This is a different Spurs team, a different Kings team. But the symbolic snapping of a 14-game losing streak to one of the NBA's all-time great dynasties is big, I think.
I mean, it's the epitome of their season so far. Yeah. It's just proving people wrong. It's going against the grain, going against the odds, and doing things that they normally can't do or haven't done before. And it's what they've made a name for so far through this young season. I'm glad you started the highlights with a De'Aaron Fox three-pointer. I don't know if it's premature. I'm ready to call De'Aaron Fox a shooter or say that he's added the three-point shot to his game. Now, I'm not saying he is a great shooter at the level of Buddy Hield or J.J. Redick or Steph Curry or anything like that, but De'Aaron Fox has now shown that he can consistently hit the three-point shot, and he can also do them in big spots. He single-handedly, with three three-pointers, led the Kings back in the first half against the Los Angeles Lakers. Last night had a couple big threes early in the game, also had a big three late to help extend the lead after Nemanja Bjelica's, or actually, sorry, before Nemanja Bjelica's three to make it an 8-point lead. De'Aaron Fox's stroke looks so improved. He's shooting with absolute confidence from three-point range. He's over 40% now, which you talk about that jump from the low 30s to over 40% early on. Now, I get it's a small sample size, and he can get hit a slump and that number can come down. But I'm ready to say that De'Aaron Fox has added the three-point shot to his game, and now you're starting to see teams respect it. There are two or three times that the Spurs closed out on Fox and he used it to get by them. We didn't see that at all his rookie season.
Right, and that was the big thing. At Kentucky, he just didn't shoot threes. Like, I think he shot like one a game or less than one a game. And last season, he struggled a little bit, but now, even if he only shoots them like 2, 3, 4 a game and hits them at a 40% clip to where teams do have to come out and close out, that's it. That's an effective shot.
But he's already showed the ability to shoot both in a catch-and-shoot scenario with him spacing the floor. If I love the fact at one point late in the fourth quarter, we saw a lineup of Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Harry Giles, and Marvin Bagley. And with Bogey taking some of the pressure off of De'Aaron Fox, running the offense and dribbling and trying to get to the rim, it allowed Fox to space the floor. Fox's man would leave him because the majority of the time, if you're leaving Fox and he gets a wide open three, he's still missing it because he's a 40% shooter. but now you have to respect it a little bit more. And Fox has also shown the ability to pull up in transition without hesitation. He's shooting with confidence, like a three-point shot has been part of his game. He mentioned his three-point shooting has improved and how confident he is with it in his post-game press conference. It's a beautiful thing to behold, because in order to be a point guard in today's NBA, you have to have that outside shot, and you can tell that he worked on it religiously this summer, and it's paying off.
Ethan Strauss, he writes for The Athletic. He's a former Warriors writer for ESPN, but he tweeted something that was so perfectly succinct. It was, De'Aaron Fox breathed life into that franchise. And that's really how it feels. For all the talent the Kings have and all these young pieces that are fun and exciting, De'Aaron Fox is the guy. And it's very clearly, this is De'Aaron Fox's team.
Right.
And that was going to be a huge storyline this season. Was, could De'Aaron Fox emerge as the leader of this team, the alpha, the number one guy? And he has. I thought it might take 40 games, 50 games for him to work into that role. It has taken less than 15 games.
And not just that, Kyle. His teammates have treated him and looked to him as such at 20 years old. Buddy Hield brings Fox up almost anytime you compliment Buddy on his game, he'll bring up De'Aaron Fox. Bogdan Bogdanovic brings up De'Aaron Fox, even though Bogey did a lot of the floor general and played a lot of the point last season, which, by the way, seeing Bogey out there able to throw up lobs to Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles and Willie Cauley-Stein is just a beautiful thing to behold. But it's top to bottom. This roster looks at De'Aaron Fox and they see their leader. And Fox said it as much this summer. He said, I want to be that Chris Paul for this team. I want to command they run and want everybody running with me. Willie Cauley-Stein is the longest tenured king and veteran on this team. He gives the keys to De'Aaron. Dave Yeager is given the keys to De'Aaron. You're right. It is De'Aaron's team, but everybody is bought into it, which is a major difference from maybe what you see in Minnesota.
Yeah, there was just a buzz when he stepped on the floor with like 6 minutes left last night. There was just a buzz in the arena, and you could just—it just felt like, all right, he's going to take this game over, and he did, really on both ends of the floor, and distributing, rebounding, shooting. He did it all and helped put the game away.
And really quickly, before we have to go to break, Fox averages the most minutes per game on the team, which is rightfully so. But I was very impressed with Frank Mason last night. I think Frank Mason has grown exponentially from last year and even this summer to this year, running the offense, facilitating, getting others involved. Frank Mason had a great game last night, moving the basketball, running that second unit. Really, it was that second unit in the first half that gave the Kings their separation, and then Fox and the starters really closed it out in half number two. But Frank Mason deserves a lot of credit for how he's running this team in that second unit.
Yeah, he's done a really nice job. Hey, this Thursday, drop off fresh or frozen turkeys to the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services and help make sure thousands of families in need are able to enjoy a holiday meal this Thanksgiving. The 1140 Street Team will be helping collect donations from noon to 5 p.m. at 3333 3rd Avenue in Sacramento. Details at khtk.com. When we get back, I want to talk a little bit about the Niners-Giants game last night. We don't have to spend too much time on it. But we'll wrap up the first hour with it. The Niners fall to the Giants 27-23. I want to look at some of the big picture implications of that loss before we dive back into the Kings win. This is The Drive. It's Sports 1140 KSGK.
The Drive continues now.
Manning in the shotgun, Barkley to his right. Eli clapping his hands, takes the snap. He's back to throw. He lobs one left for Beckham again, who's got it. Touchdown, Giants. Odell does a little dance. He's got two touchdown catches tonight. Mullins now throws it back left to the end zone. Touchdown, Breida. Another third down conversion. They had everybody out to the right, and Breida's the one who slipped out to the left. Mullins back, he's under pressure, he heaves it through the back of the end zone, and the Giants will win. Now there's a flag on the play.
He got hit on Holding the arm.
By the offense.
Yep, game
that
over.
That penalty is declined, the game is over.
So Mullins throws it out of the back of the end zone. The Giants come out of the bye. They get a come from behind drive from Eli Manning, and a touchdown pass to Sterling Shepard, and the Giants win the ball game 27-23.
Same story for the 49ers as we come back here on the drive. Kyle Madsen and Matt George filling in for Carmichael Dave, who is out dealing with a family issue. Certainly hope everything's going all right for him. But the 49ers fall 27-23 to the Giants. And again, a game where the 49ers kicked a field goal in the fourth quarter to take a 23-20 lead with shade under 3 minutes to go. And Eli Manning does what Eli Manning does, and no matter how good or bad he is in a game, finds a way to come back and win. That Giants touchdown, just for the sake of accuracy, came with 53 seconds left, was when the Giants scored the touchdown. And credit Nick Mullins and the Niners. They, thanks to maybe some home cooking by the clock operator, were able to get one final snap off. And Mullins, a guy who's been killed for not having enough arm strength, flew a pass out the back of the end zone on the final snap of the game. And I've run out of things really to say.
Huh.
Because what we're seeing with the 49ers is there's clearly some talent here. Kyle Shanahan is obviously a very good offensive coach. But they just don't have... They're injured. They're very banged up. And they just don't have enough good players. Like, when you talk about finishing games, you talk about closing out games, you need big-time players to do that. We just talked about De'Aaron Fox with the Kings. He is a big-time player who steps up in big moments and makes a play. And the 49ers don't have a guy who does that.
I tell you what, there are a few things in professional sports that are as uncomfortable as a three-point lead in a football game with time still left on the clock and the opposing team has the ball.
It just feels like a loss, right?
Almost always that drive is going to result in at least a field goal. It's so you can force three and outs the entire game, and that's what really separates NFL players from everybody else or from the college games and beyond. Even if a quarterback is having a terrible game, has thrown three picks, four picks, does not matter. If they're in the game and they have a chance to go down the field and it's a two-minute drill or even three-minute drill with timeouts and the two-minute warning, you can feel pretty confident that they're going to get some points out of it. And I don't think 49er fans expected anything less last night as soon as they gave the ball back to Eli. When the Niners kicked that field goal and took the lead, I couldn't... if anybody felt confident, they're a fool. That's football.
There were the Giants' drive was so wacky because there were penalties that put them in field goal range and another one that took them out, then another one that put them right back in. Just a very strange drive, but there was a sequence for the 49ers. They had a first and 10 at the Giants' 19-yard line with 3:41 to go. Alfred Morris on first down went for 5 yards to bring up a second and 5. He lost a yard on second down to bring up a third and 6. And then Mullins completed a pass to Kendrick Bourne for 3 yards.
Great.
He had to avoid a sack. They brought pressure, and he got rid of it. It's what you want to do. He found an open guy in that situation. But it felt like when they didn't convert, even then, when they got into that 3rd and 6, it was like, man, this is not the position they needed to put themselves in. They were running the ball so effectively. But, I mean, the fact is the 49ers are on their third-string quarterback. They're on new starting safeties. Jimmy Ward is starting a free safety when he started the year as a corner, but injuries have forced him to move back there. Antone Exum is the starting strong safety. It's a mess due in part to injuries and also due in part to a lack of talent and the inability to make up for those injuries. That's really what it comes down to.
So I preach my optimism in regards to the Sacramento Kings to the world, and at the very same time, I am bitter, angry Oakland Raider fan, but allow me to try and spin some optimism for the 49ers.
Please.
And let me just ask you specifically, from someone that not only covers the team but supports the team and has a rooting interest in the team, is there any silver lining for you that this team, given the circumstances, given the injuries, a quarterback starting his second game of the season on a primetime game against a veteran like Eli Manning, is there any silver lining that the Niners put themselves in a position to at least win this game? And so far this season, they've put themselves in multiple positions to win those games. And now you can look at, okay, we know we can get there. Mm-hmm. Next season, can we actually finish it?
Yeah, there should be an excitement level in terms of what this offense will look like when it's fully healthy. but they clearly need help on the defensive side, and that's something they'll have to address through the draft and free agency. Read all about that at NinersWire.com. Ding. Hey, we've got Fleetwood Mac tickets to give away. Fleetwood Mac is at the Golden One Center on November 23rd. Get more info at khtk.com. All KHTK giveaways are powered by RosevilleAutoMall.com. The Niners lost. That's about as much as I wanted to say about that. A few other kind of peripheral NBA things I want to get into. Hugh Jackson is once again employed.
Hey.
I want to touch on those things before we get back into the Kings win over the Spurs. And Matt, we talked about this four-game homestand before it started. We got the opportunity to do that. Now I want to discuss it kind of post-mortem and recap that four-game homestand. So Hugh Jackson's employed, and the Kings' four-game homestand, where do they go from here? There's more that
all the
and
way
more,
up.
That and more on the drive. Talking is hard. It's Sports 1140 KHGK.